Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
John described a vision of heaven where he saw people that were martyred for the faith, sitting underneath the throne of God, so near to him, so safe beneath him. Those that have run the race and gone on to eternal glory have a very different perspective from the one that we have here on earth. Are you living for something bigger than earthly glory? Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 14 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 8 through 13.
It's only as you and I see the big picture that we can resist the fleeting and powerful temptations of this world. It's only by seeing the big picture that we can govern our lives with eternal instead of temporary principles. Notice again with me, verse 13, write, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors and their deeds do follow them. Verse 14 doesn't tell us whose voice it is. I would like to believe it was the Lord's voice. John writes something. Tell them this. And although the source of the voice is not clear, what is said is very clear. The voice told John to record that it would be a blessing for the believers who live during the Great Tribulation to die as martyrs. If it has always been true that those who die in Christ are blessed, it will be particularly true in the last days of the tribulation. There are two reasons given in this verse for the blessedness of dying in Christ. The first is that by dying, they will rest from their labors. And the term labors stresses the pain and persecution they experienced of living as witnesses in a wicked world which sought to overcome them. Resting from their labors. The phrase rest here is a beautiful one. It's a picture of a soldier who's been out at war, experiencing carnage and conflict, but then he comes home. It's a picture of someone who's been out at sea and there's been terrible storms, and then they come to the port of home. Right, blessed are those who die in the Lord. They rest from their labors. They've run the race. You and I have a race to run. One day we're going to finish. God willing, we will finish well. And yet we're told here that our labors on earth will follow us. In other words, God is telling us this morning to live for something bigger than yourself. Live for something bigger than this world system. You see, for some of us, our perspective is too small. We need to live for something bigger than us. Someone larger than us. And who might that be? That might be the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be people who pray the kind of prayers that will outlive our earthly life. You're probably doing that now. I know you are if you're a grandparent. Praying for your grandchildren. Praying that they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Praying should the Lord tarry for their spouse, for their children. You're praying those things now, aren't you? I am. But there is going to come a time when God's going to call us home. We're going to rest from the labors. Labors indicates that it's not always easy living as a witness for Jesus Christ in this world. In fact, if you want to be honest, sometimes it's downright hard. That's the reality of it. But when we see life from a big perspective, it gives us the incentive to do so. The second reason for the blessedness of the saints who die in the Lord is, as I said a moment ago, their deeds will follow them. We rest from our labors, our deeds will follow us. If there are consequences for wickedness and unbelief, so there are consequences for righteousness and perseverance. And what a contrast. Always contrasts in the Scripture between those who know the Lord and those who don't. What a contrast we see in verse 13. What is a cause for fear on the part of sinners is a cause for faith on the part of the righteous. Death. Death. I'm going to speak about it in a moment. The statistics in death are staggering. One out of every single human being dies. It's inevitable. As far as your works following you or following me, J. Vernon McGee, can't you just hear them? Every time I used to listen to him on the radio, he had that southern drawl and he sounded like he was chewing bubble gum. He once said, God does not save anyone for his works, but he does reward us for our work. Our good works are like tin cans tied to a dog's tail. We cannot get away from them. They will follow us to the Bema seat of Christ. You know, one of the things about walking with Christ is that it is so daily, isn't it? And because it is so daily, what God calls us to do can appear to be so mundane. You know what I mean? It's just, we lose the perspective of what we do and why we do it. But here the Lord says, right, blessed are those who die on the Lord. Your works will follow you. You know what that means today, beloved? Make your life count for Jesus Christ. Make your life count today for Jesus Christ. Don't lose sight of the fact that the littlest things that you and I do in His name and for His glory is going to matter when we stand before Him. Those daily things, I know you moms probably feel, everything I cook, they don't want to eat. The laundry. All of these things. Why do you do it? You're probably saying, yeah, I want to know why I do it. Well, let me switch that around. Do it for the Lord. Cook for the Lord. Clean for the Lord. Go to work tomorrow for the Lord. Do what you do for the Lord. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust so as to forget your work, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Do what you do for the Lord. Go to work for the Lord. Do everything that you do for the Lord. How we need to remind ourselves of that perspective, because we can get caught into the rut of just doing things with no eternal perspective. But what a difference when we do what we do for the glory of God and for the Lord. I say for the Lord because if you do things for people, you're going to get bummed out. You know why? Because people are just people. We can be real nice at 10:48, and then we could be ornery at 10:49. You know why? Because we're just people. You serve people, you do things for people, you're going to get bummed out. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get frustrated, even within the church. That's why we are told, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, not as unto men, but as unto the Lord. Because from Him you will receive a sure reward. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Not in vain. Now, it might be received in vain. It might not be received at all. But when you do what you do for the Lord, you can rest in that. You have a sure reward. Isn't it amazing how gracious our God is? That when you and I stand before Him, He's going to remember every little thing that we did for Him, but He's not going to remember one sin. Hallelujah. He's going to open the books. Viola, no sin. Not because I'm sinless, but because of His Son. Then He gets out the book of works. Hopefully it's more than one sentence. Or is it, well, what did you do with your time? What did you do with your talents? What did you do with these opportunities, Raymond? Well, God, you know, was... We all want to hear the Lord say those words. Well done, you good and faithful servant. You see, when we have the big picture, it makes our vocations, turns our vocation into a calling, turns our vocation into a mission field, doesn't it? Everything. Everything that we do now is missionary in a sense. As far as the lost are concerned, every time we have an opportunity to serve the Lord, what a joy to do it for Him. That's how God wants us to live, saints. That's how God wants us to be as a body of believers. But again, in verse 13, that word blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That's the second of seven blesseds in the book of Revelation. And the English word blessed comes from the Greek word that means supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, happy. It's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that can say that about death. When you die in the Lord, you will be supremely blessed. You will be fortunate. You will be well off. You will be happy. It's that perspective that enables us to deal with the reality of seeing loved ones die. Why? It's not a figure of speech. They're in a much better place. Much better place. Dr. W.A. Griswell wrote these words, quote, "The New Testament begins with the sayings of Jesus in beautiful beatitudes for the living. The New Testament closes with this last final apocalypse, which is a beatitude for God's sainted dead. Blessed are those who die in the Lord." If you are a born-again child of God, let me remind you and myself of this truth. This world is not our home. It's not our home. Don't live for it. You and I now as redeemed saints do not owe this world one more second of time, one more penny, one more use of our God-given times or talents. The big picture. A dear brother, Alistair Begg, wrote these words, quote, "Lord, I would not be a citizen where Jesus was an alien. His pierced hand has loosened the cords that once bound my soul to earth. And now I find myself a stranger in the land. My speech seems to these pagans among whom I dwell a strange tongue. My manners are singular and my actions are outlandish. A prince would be more at home in the ghetto than I could ever be in the haunts of sinners. But here is the sweetness of my circumstance. I am a stranger with you. You are my fellow sufferer, my fellow pilgrim. Oh, what joy to wander in such blessed company. My heart burns within me on the journey when you speak to me. And though I am a traveler, I am far more blessed than those who sit on thrones and far more at home than those who live in their comfortable homes." Perspective. Death. When you hear that word, probably conjures up all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of emotions. But the Bible calls death what? An enemy, doesn't it? Calls it an enemy that is going to be destroyed. The aspirations of a man, the dreams of his heart, the tenderest ties that bind him to those that he loves are severed by the cruel and mercilessness of this pale horseman, wrote one. Another wrote, "But God in Christ has taken the sting out of death and has taken away the victory out of the grave." The Lord has made even death in the grave to minister to the good and the blessedness of his children. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Isn't that awesome? And the only way to die in the Lord is to be in the Lord before you die. Right? You see, you're not born in the Lord. You're born in Adam. And until you are born again, you are out of the Lord. You're one of his creatures, and you're blessed by him, but there must be a point in time when you go from being in Adam to being in Christ. And the only way that you can die in the Lord is to be born again by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Bibles are filled with scriptures of great hope. Hope. That's not a word that you associate with this world, is it? You look at this world and there's another four-letter word. Help, not hope. And from the book of Genesis right through to the book of Revelation, believers in Jesus Christ are given this great and comforting truth that upon death, immediately we are blessed. Immediately. not at some other time, not at some other day. At the moment of death, the child of God is blessed because why? We are received right into the presence of the Lord. There is no exception to that in the presentation of the Holy Scriptures. When we die, we are with the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is what? Absent from this physical body means to be present with the Lord. Remember what the Lord said to the thief that died at his right hand on the cross? He said, today. He didn't say tomorrow, maybe, cross your fingers and hope, you know, hope to die. He is going to die. You know, all of these things that were our family say to us. You know, the Italians, they knock on wood, cross their fingers, hope to die. Wait a minute. What is that? It's superstition. It's nothing other than superstition. Jesus said to the thief, the repentant thief at the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, I've got this picture. I'm reading this week. Here's this thief on the cross. Think about this. He's dying this horrific, painful death. He says, Lord, remember me when you come into the kingdom. Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. That guy had to have a gazillion watts smile on his face. Can you imagine looking up? What's wrong with him? Today, you will be with me in paradise. Talk about a trip. My golly. This is incredible. God willing, it's going to take me 16 hours to get from the United States to India today. 16 hours. But when the Lord calls me home or you home, I'm going to go to glory in a nanosecond is too long. Right there, from here to there. Wow. Wow. Whoa. Man alive. Isn't that awesome? That's supposed to encourage you if you're saved. That's supposed to encourage you today. Paul the Apostle was ministering in a powerful way by God's grace when he was in the city of Philippi. And he said in Philippians chapter 1, I am in a strait between two things, to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide with you, you know, that's necessary too. He says, but for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, it's only the person that can say with all of his or her heart, for me to live is Christ, that can say to die is gain. Are you living for Christ today? The big picture. Live for Christ today. Do whatever you do for Christ today. Invest your life in the kingdom of God and for Jesus Christ today. Don't think small. Don't live for this little small period of time called now, or for this little planet called earth. Live for the king. Live for the kingdom. Be sold out for Jesus Christ today. The big picture. How many times we get tripped up because all we see is what is in front of us. All we see is the here and now. We even miss those eternal opportunities that God puts right in front of us. For lack of a better word, perspective. How we need to be living for things that are eternal. Remember Moses in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And I love this. For he endured because he saw him who is invisible. Can you see him who is invisible today? See how that will change everything that you do? May we see him who is invisible today. May we live those kinds of lives, beloved. My exhortation to us this morning, beginning with me, is that we live with abandon for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do anything half-heartedly for Jesus. Do everything you do wholeheartedly for him. Amen? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Yes, we're in this world. Why? To be a witness for Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't redeem us from this world that we would fall in love with it. That's for people whose names are Demas. To love the world, to live for the world, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. You see, they've got it all backwards. They look at you, serious for Jesus, sold out for Jesus, and they would say to you, what a waste. You know why? They don't know him who is invisible. They haven't been redeemed. The waste is a person who lives all of their life here for me, myself, and I, and for Babylon that has fallen. That's the waste. Live for Jesus Christ. Jim Elliot didn't live long on earth, but he certainly made an impact for the kingdom of God. In one of the quotes from Jim Elliot that we've all heard, I'm sure, or many of us have, maybe this is the first time you've heard it, but a great quote, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let's live for Christ today. Give it all to Jesus. Everything. Everything. Every moment. Do it for Jesus, guys. If you've never experienced that new birth in Christ, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And today is the day. And by God's grace, you can receive Christ. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. And maybe I trust that the Spirit of God is touching your heart to do something. What do I do? How do I do this? Well, we'd love to pray with you. But you may be thinking, oh no, if I do what that guy says, what are my friends going to say? What are they going to say when I go to work tomorrow with this $50 million smile on my face? Where did you go yesterday? Oh, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And then, what is my spouse going to say? What are my aunts and uncles going to say? Listen carefully. When you die, none of them are going to be there with you. Okay? That's going to be you and the King alone. Make your peace with God this morning. Place your faith in Christ. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Oh, how we need them, Lord. We get so earthbound. We get so landlocked. We get so engrossed in the here and now. And not even the bad, just the thorns, Lord. The cares of this life and all of that. Oh, Father, in your mercy, cause your word today to take root and to bring forth good fruit, that we would walk away from this building today with a different perspective, that we would live for you, Lord, that we would live in a way that would honor you and glorify you, that we would not misread one divine act of providence that you put in front of us. It's all from you and it's all for your glory. And for any that are here today, Lord, that do not know you, they don't know you in that relational way, I pray that, Father, by your Spirit, you would just speak to their hearts right now and give them the courage and give them the grace and give them the faith, Lord God, to call upon your name and be saved. Amen.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.